Matthew chapter 20 tonight. As I've said so many times yesterday, I just love your theme, to be like Jesus. Oh, to be like Jesus. And we were looking at that a little bit yesterday. We looked at John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And the abundant life. And hey, listen, the abundant life is only known by the child of God. The abundant life. You say, oh, if I just had all the money that I needed. Why, listen, the sorriest, saddest individual I ever knew or met in my life was Arthur Vining Davis. Now, you probably never heard of that name. But back when I was working for Southern Bell Telephone Company in the 1950s, Arthur Vining Davis was the richest man in the United States of America and the third richest man in the world. One of his small companies was Alcoa Aluminum. And he owned an island in Biscayne Bay, which is right out of Miami. Matter of fact, when you went to Arthur Vining Davis's estate, you got on a boat, and the boat went out to the Arthur Vining Davis Island, and you got off the boat at the dock. And when you got off the boat, there was an armed guard standing on that dock. Arthur Vining Davis stood about 5'4". Little man. And when Ed Hogue and I, we were the two Southern Bell employees in the South Florida division that was allowed to go on that island and deal with all of his telephones. And when Ed Hogue and I got off that boat, that guard would be there, and he'd march us up to the house. I saw him twice. The man never smiled. Never smiled. Never saw him smile. Third richest man in the world. And he lived on an island to stay away from all the people. I'll tell you what. I'll take a little cottage with an outdoor bathroom. How about those apples? I'll take a little college, just a little tiny thing. Maybe just one bedroom, just maybe a little tiny kitchen, like the one we started out with, sweetheart. Yeah, we didn't, she washed. She washed the dishes in our tub. We didn't have a sink in our kitchen. We were only paying $35 a month. What do you want? But I'll take that and know happiness and joy and the love of God and the peace of God than all the money in the world. Money doesn't bring you happiness, people. Let me tell you that. Money doesn't bring you joy. I brought home paychecks for over $1,000 for 2 weeks' labor. I said $1,000. I'm talking 1960. 2 weeks' work. But I was running from God. No joy. No peace. No happiness. Oh, hey, wait a minute. I was a deacon, Sunday school superintendent, sang in the choir, chairman of the building committee to build a 500-seat auditorium. I was active. I was there. I was there every time the doors opened. I tithed, gave the missions. No peace, no joy. Until at a Bible conference, February 1960, I took her by the hand and we walked down the aisle at First Baptist Church of Westwood Lake and said, God, I give up, I quit. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I surrender. That's when Ed Johnson's life took, I mean, a 180. The rest is history. So what he's preaching tonight, he's not just blowing smoke. It's called the book, the Word of God. Wise we'll be to hear it and heed it. take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 20. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read verse number 16. Because I'm going to deal with the first 16 verses. Now, don't get all bent out of shape. It's not going to be that long. I mean, he said 16 verses? We're going to experience what the young man did in the loft when Paul was preaching. But if you will, look with me very quickly at verse number 16. Because the scripture says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, what a delight and joy it has been to this old preacher's heart tonight to be here, to listen to the Word of God preached this evening. And Lord, those dear, sweet young people, what a joy, what a blessing to see God, the Word of God being quoted, songs being sung, special music. You have been so very, very good to us. And we give you thanks and we give you praise for it. And Lord, you know my heart tonight. God, I do want to be a blessing. And I pray that you would allow the dear, sweet Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts and in our lives for these moments that God will spend here together in your word tonight, to where we'll understand even more afresh and more anew than we did when we walked in the doors, that God, it's wonderful, oh, to be like Jesus. We ask in his name with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the Bible, in the Word of God, God places, I believe, parables for more than one specific reason. And this parable that we're going to look at tonight, I believe, has been placed in the Word of God to emphasize a certain aspect of Christian service. Because, as you know, this particular parable here is called the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And as I was thinking about your theme when Pastor wrote me that letter and told me what the theme was going to be like Jesus, I thought about this parable. Because there's a wonderful principle, I think, that is presented in this particular parable here tonight that we need to understand if we're going to be like Jesus. Because every child of God in this auditorium tonight has been saved to serve. You haven't been saved to sit. You haven't been saved to soak. You haven't been saved but to serve, to stand and serve the God of heaven. And that's what we've got to get back to in the day and age, people, in which we're living. I looked out here tonight, and I saw one of our kids. I held Liz when she was 2 days old. Her daddy and mother, I married her daddy and mother. And matter of fact, I married Kevin and Liz. Brother Gomez preached the fire out of them, and they deserved every bit of it. That fly that's buzzing, or bug that's buzzing in front of me, I'm telling you right now, you better watch out, son, because I'm going to snatch you in a minute, and you're going to go right in my mouth and down in my tummy. I don't mess around. They want to mess with me, they're going to pay the price. They're going to find out what Jonah found out. I got biblical grounds. But I looked out there and I saw Liz. I looked over here and I saw Brother Lloyd and his dear wife. And I saw his daughter, Mrs. Pastor. That's what old John R., every time John R. Rice came to our church to preach for me, he called Ellie, Mrs. Pastor. We'd have him, he would fly in on Saturday night. Never forget the first time I met him, 1972. I'd been after him to come for a sword conference, and finally got him to come 1972. And I'm at the airport. He's flying in at 10 o'clock at night, and I'm at the airport to meet him, and I'm thinking that John R. Rice is coming. I am so excited about this. And I thought, I'm sure he's coming down that jetway. Back in those days, you could meet him at the plane. Now they don't let you do it anymore. They want to search little old ladies that are 90 years old and have them standing out there like they're a criminal or something. It's absolutely idiotic, but anyhow. But I'm thinking he's probably coming down with his Scofield Bible in one hand, and he probably has a case of Sword of the Lord in the other hand. And he comes walking off the plane with a Zane Grey novel on a Western. My heart was crushed. It was amazing. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. But nevertheless, he was there. So we would have him over to our house for Sunday lunch. He would come over to our home in Apple Valley. At that time we were still living in the other house. The church hadn't built the new house in Apple Valley until 1976. But he always called Ellie Mrs. Pastor. And I think it was because he couldn't remember all the names, because he was as old as I was then, and I can't remember the names now. But I do remember Cheryl's name because she grew up in Rosemont. But I go to other places sometimes now, and I always call the wife Mrs. Pastor. Well, like I told you yesterday, I carry Ellie's name here in a 3x5 car, so I don't forget her name. But you know, I got looking at these folks, and my mind just went back to yesteryears when they were growing up, as Liz was, and Brother Whittington was raising his family. Our oldest daughter used to babysit his kids, and he served in our Christian school. Matter of fact, the music was one of my deacons. And I started thinking about the message that I've got here this evening, laborers in the vineyard. And you know, I got thinking, you know, Lord, it's right. What you've given me here tonight is true. Because I've got the evidence. I mean, you know, he's not, trust me, he's not under 40. In spite of what the kids say, sweet little old man or cute little old man. But he's still serving Jesus. He's still going at it. I told his son-in-law tonight, I said, Brother Lloyd, he was in hog heaven when he was leading those kids. And you were. And you need to be, amen. But then I looked over here and I saw Liz. And her hubby is a youth pastor. And I got thinking. Now, Brother Lloyd, he's been going at this thing for years and years and years. He was active for Jesus before he got to Rosemont. And he's lived most of his life, just like I've lived most of my life. And now Liz, she's still had most of her life to live. But the point is this, it's still doing the same thing. Serving Jesus. See, if you and I are going to be like Jesus, people, listen to me. We got to get a hold of the truth. We're saved to serve. We're not saved to sit. We're not saved to soak. We're saved to serve. And one of the things that God's people needs to understand, if we're going to be like Jesus, you got to be serving the one you're trying to be like. And here is a wonderful, wonderful parable where we see principle after principle after principle, where in these 16 verses, the Scripture shows us, truth after truth after truth after truth, why laborers of the vineyard are so desperately needed even yet today. There will never be, Pastor Ross, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there'll never be a day when there should not be people who are coming into this ministry who are finding places to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to have a church that's going to be like Jesus, that's always going to be an emphasis in your ministry. You're not coming in here to just sit down and, you know, give, put your conscience money in the offering plate. You're coming in here to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who shed his blood on Calvary's cross for your sins. You're saved to serve. And we have a truth here. Again and again coming to the remind us of that truth. Because when you begin reading with that verse number one, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to find laborers into his vineyard. And you read on verse number two, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, said unto them, come ye also into my vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way, and you know the story. He goes again, and he goes again, and he goes again. What that's telling us, people, we need to understand the reason that God has saved us to serve is because the Lord's vineyard is in very great vineyard in proportion. There's all kind of things to do. The vineyard is large. Many workers are needed. Many workers. Many, many are needed. The householder, if I read my scripture correctly here in verse 1 and verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 6, the householder goes out four times for the laborers. And I trust you understand the householder is representing who? Jesus. Jesus is teaching this parable to show those that he's teaching that you are saved to serve. You are saved to go into my vineyard and serve me. God's people in the day and age in which we are living need to get a hold of a worldwide vision. There's all kind of opportunities to serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, because of all the technology that we have available today, I mean, I get excited when I can just turn on my cell phone. My computer, my laptop. You say, why do you have a laptop? Well, they told me I needed a laptop. I get excited when I can turn my laptop on. But all of the technology available today, when we started our ministry back in 1967, we didn't have a tech on our staff. You didn't need a tech on your staff. But we got on our staff back in Minnesota, we've got a tech on our staff. He is responsible for all of the technology that we have. And I don't even understand a half of it. And I don't want to understand a half of it. But there's all kind of opportunities in a ministry. When you have a ministry such as Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you got a bus ministry, you got a nursery ministry, you got a Sunday school ministry, you got a Christian school ministry, you got a visitation and soul winning ministry. There's all kind of places for God's people to serve Him. And you need to understand that's needed. Because the vineyard in which we're dealing in is great in its proportion. It's large. One individual can't do it all. One individual can't do everything. Two individuals can't do everything in a ministry. And if you're a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you ought to be finding a ministry if you don't have one. And if you don't have one, see the preacher, and I can dead sure guarantee you, you're going to get one. If you want to be like Jesus. Because you're saved to serve. And then stop and think of this, because what a privilege and yet what a responsibility it is to be a worker in the vineyard. That's why God has given you this place. And when I look around Greene County and I look around Clay County and I look around Sullivan County, you guys, beloved, are in the midst of a gold mine. I mean, when I was out today, we had lunch with Brother and Mrs. Don't tell me, Mari. We had lunch with Brother and Mrs. Mari, and you know, God bless her heart, she did not know that meatloaf is my favorite food. And that dear saint of God fixed me a meatloaf today that I thought I died and went to heaven. I told Brother Don, he married a good cook, that's for dead sure. And you know what he said? He said, I know. I'll tell you, well, it doesn't hurt you to laugh. Stop looking like you've been sucking on lemons for a month. God bless your heart. Heavens, now, Betsy. Some folks are going to have to go through a training course when they get to heaven. But the scripture here is very, very clear. Another truth I see as I read through these 16 verses is that the laborers are urgently needed in the vineyard. He just doesn't settle for the first going out. He goes again and he goes again and he goes again. And you know, it's interesting when you remember some of the words of Jesus, when you start talking about laborers, one of the first verses that jumps into my mind when you start talking about laborers is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 37 when he said, the harvest truly is what? It's plenteous, but what's the problem? The laborers are few. The laborers. And if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to have a theme that says to be like Jesus, then, beloved, I submit to you as a child of God who's a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church or another Bible preaching church that's a guest here tonight, you need to get yourself busy serving Jesus if you're not. That's what it's all about. And then when you stop and you think about the need, Do you realize one per 1 million people in some places are hearing, have one person to meet that need of 1 million people? One of the things that have broken my heart and my dear wife's heart as we've traveled the world now to the mission fields and see what those dear people are experiencing in other countries, and yet to see the commitment and the dedication. Traveling over to Central African Republic, just a few hundred miles from the equator. It was 113 degrees on Thanksgiving Day. In the shade at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that Lord's Day, when we were driving down those old dirt roads going to the church where I was scheduled to preach, and here they came. They were marching down the street. Dirt roads now, not paved roads. Matter of fact, there's one paved road in Central African Republic between Bangui, the capital, and Subud, a city 120 miles away, and it's a two-lane road, and it's the only paved highway in the entire country of Central African Republic. One of the poorest nations in the world. But here was those dear black people, all marching down that dirt road. Some of them 5-6 miles walking to church and singing the whole way. That doesn't speak to your heart. I'll tell you what, you don't have a heart. And yet, we started our Christian school ministry, Brother Angel. We started our Christian schools to flood the world with missionaries. And we have more missionaries retiring every year from active ministry than are going to the fields. That's reality. Sounds like we sort of missed our goal to me. My dear young friends, you young people, if you miss everything else I've said tonight, hear the old man for just a couple of minutes. Before you ever do anything with your life, you give your life to do what, first of all, what God wants you to do. Believe me when I say that. Believe me. I wasted many, many years of my life. I wasted 20 years finding Christ. I wasted 9 years. 9 years. Oh, I was making all kind of money. I had a new home. I had a new car. I had a beautiful wife. I had beautiful children. I had everything I wanted. But I didn't have any peace. Down deep inside where I lived as an individual. You give God your life. Lord, do you want me? Do you want me to be that missionary? Do you want me to be that Christian school teacher? Do you want me to be? I want to be what you want me to be. Now, I'm not saying God's going to call everybody to the mission field. I'm not saying God's going to call everybody to preach. I'm not saying God's going to call everybody to Christian education. But I am saying, if we're going to be a child of God who wants to be like Jesus, he gets first choice. He gets number one. What do you want me to do, Lord? I'll do what you want me to do. I was in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago. I was there for a Christian education conference with the American Association of Christian Schools. We were in a congressional briefing on Tuesday afternoon from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 4:30 in the Cannon office building in room 215. There were 8 representatives or congressmen, and there was 2 congresswomen that came through speaking to us on educational issues. One of the congresswomen from the state of Washington gave this testimony. When she was 17 years old in a little ACE school in Washington, D.C., she's now the congresswoman. But when she was 17 years old in a little ACE school in the state of Washington, she was at an ACE convention in Dallas, Texas, and a preacher by the name of Jack Hiles in 1984 preached about the need of, we've got to have some Christians in government. We've got to get some Christians that'll give their lives to God to serve in government. And at the age of 17, she walked down the aisle in that ACE's Christian School Convention and told the Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, and if it's to go and become a member of Congress, I'll even do that. And she's now serving her 3rd term in Washington, D.C. as a congresswoman from the state of Washington. And she gives the testimony of knowing Christ. She's pro-life. She's conservative. She loves the Savior. She has a Bible study. And there's 43 of them that meet every Wednesday for prayer. Amen. See, the key is find the will of God for your life. But give God first choice. Because the vineyard, this is what it's all about. We urgently need God's people to get a hold of that truth. Another truth I see as I look here in my scripture today, I see all kinds of laborers are needed. I already referred to that a little bit. Because of the Lord's work in the vineyard. The Lord's work is valuable. The Lord's work is special. I already mentioned some of the needs that would be found right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But you've got to understand, the laborers are needed because of the importance of the work. There's another truth I see here tonight, and that is the need for laborers in the Lord's vineyard is urgent because of the period of work, the period of time. I'm not setting any dates, but as old Dr. John used to say to me quite often, he didn't know when the Lord was coming, but he was quite confident it was one day earlier than it was yesterday. Amen. But I'll tell you what, when you look at what's going on in our world today, and more importantly, you look what's going on in the city of New York right now, in the United Nations, and you look at what's taking place in that body of people representing countries from all around the world, I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep my ear very, very close, listening for a trumpet. And I am convinced of this. I'm convinced, and as I said, I'm not a fan of Jack Van Impe when it comes to setting dates. I'm not saying that Jesus is coming within the next year or the next 2 years, but I am saying this. I'm saying when I start looking at our world system and our world situation, and I start looking at what we are dealing with in our world, I start looking at a country that says they're our friends, says they are allies, and we have a member, a joint chief of staff member, sit before a Senate committee 2 or 3 days ago and testify that that country that says they're our allies and says they're our friends, that country, and they have direct, our military has direct evidence that they are participating in all kinds of activity against our military over in the Mideast. And that country has the atomic bomb. Because that's the reason that Pakistan and India are just constantly at each other. They both have that weapon. And many of you that are here tonight, you're not old enough to remember 1945. But I was 13 years old, and I well remember that headline splashed across the Miami Herald as a young man when the atomic bomb was dropped on Japan. And what picture they had in that paper, that entire city was leveled. There wasn't a building standing within a radius of where that bomb dropped. We need to be sensitive, people, to what God's given us in this book. Amen. Because it's still just as applicable today as it was when God wrote it. Because that's who wrote it. Man transcribed it. I understand that. But God wrote it. And all kinds of labors are needed to do that work in the vineyard. Because it's desperately, our time, I am convinced our time is going to be short. We don't have a lot of time to work. But I, by the grace of God, want to work as long as God provides the means and the strength to do it. And as I said yesterday, I'm seeing this across America because we're all living longer than what we used to live. But I'm seeing the greatest source of laborers in the vineyard, in our local churches, are the senior citizens. Folks that are 55 years and older, and they've got strength, they've got energy. Matter of fact, many of them who have raised their family, many of them who have bought and paid for their homes, they have resources available to them in the means of money that many others don't have because they haven't lived long enough yet. And incidentally, that's a good lesson for many of you young people. Don't expect to have what your mom and dad had when you first start out. That's what's killed a lot of young families in this country today. It's just crazy. But the sphere of work in the Lord's vineyard is that which is it is indicated by divine appointment. Verse number 4 here. And notice what it says. And they were sent their way. Verse number 7. They say unto him, because no man had hired us, he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So the sphere of the work of the Lord's vineyard is indicated by appointment. And if God's appointing you, if God's dealing with your heart, I'm quite confident that some of these dear folks that are working in the bus ministry right now, I'm quite confident if somebody volunteered to help them, I don't think they'd say, well, I'm sorry, we don't need you. Unless this is a most unusual church. I'll guarantee you what, if somebody said that back at First Baptist Church of Rosemont, that bus captain, he'd probably jump up and hug them. But yet yesterday, when that invitation was given, and those young folks came down the aisle and accepted Jesus, You don't think that those bus captains and those bus workers that labored like they did on Saturday and went out and got them yesterday and brought them down, you don't think they're not going to get rewarded for that?
Amen.
You're in La La Land, people. You think that? We're talking here about God's work. We're talking about God's business. And if you're going to have themes like this, to be like Jesus, that means you're going to be laboring. And let me say this to all you young people. That includes you guys and gals. All of our children were in our bus ministry. All of our children were in our bus ministry when they were teenagers. My son Rick, when he was 15 years old, had a bus route in Minneapolis that brought in 70 kids every Sunday. He couldn't drive the bus, but he's a bus captain. Matter of fact, because of that bus route is how we got the pastor that's pastoring First Baptist Church tonight. Because he was a student at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. And his mother and dad had just joined our church. And David started coming back up on weekends. Came in and said to me, he said, "I'm going to come on weekends." They called it extension at Pillsbury. He said, "I'm going to serve the Lord here on the weekends." I said, "That's wonderful, Brother Dave." I said, "My son is the bus captain. And I'll tell you what. I think if you, being a college student now, you're a little bit older, I think you'd really be a help to Rick." And he got a bus number 15. And he went with my son. And pretty soon, another teenager come. And at one time, we had dozens of teenagers. Cheryl, did you ever work on a bus? I thought you did. I'm sure you did. There's a place to serve God when you're a teenager. And you need to do it. You don't know what God will do in your life if you'll start doing things like that. But I need to be honest and say, my time's almost gone. I'm shooting for 9:15. And I'm praying that clock quits. Oh, dear me. It gets terrible worse. It gets worse and worse as you get older and older. Believe me when I say that. But I noticed something else here that I need to tell you, because I need to be honest with you. There are, though, some great, great dangers that face workers in the Lord's vineyard. Look at verse number 6. "And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing." What's that next word? Idle. "He found some standing idle and said unto them, 'Why stand ye here all the day idle?'" They were idle. You need to watch out for idleness. Watch out for idleness as a child of God. When you say, "I want to be like Jesus," the devil says, "Oh, I don't want you to be like Jesus." And he's going to work at you not being like Jesus. So you need to watch out for idleness, because as my mama used to say, before she even accepted Jesus as Savior, she used to say, "The idle mind is the devil's workshop." So you want to be very careful about idleness. And mommies and daddies, you want to be very careful about letting your children be idle. Right. Amen, Brother Dude. That's good preaching. Or Brother Joy Boyd, when he'd make a statement and First Baptist Church of Rosemont wouldn't respond, you know, just sit out there like a bullfrog in a hailstorm looking at him. He'd run out of the pulpit. He'd go, "Amen, Brother Joe, that's good preaching." And he'd run back up in the pulpit. That's like Murphy, Brother Angel. That's like Murphy. "Say amen even if it kills you."
That's right.
You know, you remind me a little bit of him.
Glory to God.
Oh, dear me. Well, you do. Dale Murphy, one of our kids. And the reason I know there's a God in heaven is he's not dead. Because if there wasn't a God in heaven, I'd have killed him. That's another story. Get back here to the Bible. Verse number 10, let me show you another one here. "But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. Remember the story? Remember? He promised those that started out a penny. But then the guys that came at the 11th hour, he gave them a penny too. And the guys that started out first, boy, they all were Baptists. They were. Just like those 10 leopards. Matter of fact, when Brother Angel was preaching that message on Thanksgiving this evening, I thought of the leopards. 10 leopards. Jesus healed them. How many came back? One. They were Baptists. Few Baptists ever say thank you. I know I'm right. I've been doing this for years and years and years. You said it yourself. You were in college when I was preaching. I think you said Lincoln was president. I can't remember, but that was a couple of hours ago. I forgot long. No, seriously. Seriously, you need to be very sensitive to verse number 10. You know, why are they saying what they're saying there? They're saying it because they're jealous. You know, one of the biggest sins in the ministry today is jealousy. One of the biggest sins against preachers, amongst preachers, is jealousy. They're jealous. You know. Well, the reason that God's blessing him, he's compromised like you can't believe. Well, maybe if you were preaching the Word of God and taking the position that stands he's taking, and you were serving like he's serving, you'd see the same thing in your place. I'll guarantee you what, you follow your pastor around, beloved, for a week, you're going to find out one thing real quick. He doesn't let any grass grow under his feet. And you hang on to a guy like that. Because I could stand here for the next hour and name lazy preachers that I know all across this country. And if I had my way, I'd put them all in a box and I'd ship them. Letting the world go to hell while they're playing church. Preaching on Sunday. Marrying the young, burying the dead, picking up their paycheck. And America's going to hell. I can name churches tonight. I can name churches. Had bus ministers. Used to go soul winning. Don't do any of it now. We got more people in this country going to hell now than we ever had. And our nation is going down, 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 down. And here we have the answer. We have the book. We have the promises of God. And we're not doing anything with them. God have mercy on our souls. They were jealous. That's all. That's the only thing you can say there. Look at another one. Look at verse 12. It's there, plain as the noses on our faces, saying these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us. Oh, bless your little pea-picking heart. And which have borne the burden in the heat of the day. Well, isn't that a shame? Criticism. Doesn't take any character to criticize. None whatsoever. Don't be a critic. Bless your heart. Stand for truth. Stand for right. Stand for God. Our children used to come home and they'd be critical of a teacher in the school. They got upset with the teacher. And the teacher got after him, and probably rightly so. They all took after their mother. That's right, Brother Jerry. Help us. Amen. And you know what we did? They said one bad thing about a teacher, they had to say two good things. Amen. I wasn't gonna let that go on in my house. You thank God. You thank God for young men and young ladies that will give themselves to teaching a Christian school when they could be making a lot more money out in the world. Don't you sit at my table that I'm putting food on and criticize one of our teachers. It's not going to happen. Of course, one of the problems was they were learning from the deacon's kids. That was the big issue that I had to deal with. But that still didn't give them any right to do it. Amen. They weren't the kids of the deacons. They were the kids of the preacher. Another verse here I want to give you real quick. Murmuring. Look at verse number 11. And when they had received it, They murmured. Now I know they were Baptists. They murmured against the Goodman. They murmured against him of the house. Well, they had contracted. They had agreed to do it. And once you agree to do something, then bless your little heart, do it. Don't change your heart or don't change your mind in midstream. That's ridiculous. And well, I could go on and on, but I got to quit. But let me give you this last thought, because that clock didn't quit and I'm upset about it. Put this one down. Our service in the Lord's vineyard will be rewarded on the basis, and watch this, on the basis of quality, not quantity. I have great admiration, I have great respect for men of God, who will give their lives to a community that will never see what many churches have seen in our country. I have great admiration for them. But they were willing to obey God's leadership and God's command. And they've labored for years and years and years in little communities. Nobody knows about them. They don't get written up in the sword of the Lord. They don't get invited to the Bible conferences, and they don't preach at Hiles Anderson College. They don't get on an airplane and fly to Los Angeles and pray all the way from Los Angeles to Lancaster when you see the traffic out there. Those people are absolute idiots. Sears and Roebuck is making big money selling licenses to those people out there. They drive like maniacs. They don't get invited to Golden State. You know, they don't get invited to go and teach like you teach, Brother Terry, for Brother Gomez. But faithfully, they're laboring amongst their flock. They're loving their people.
Praise God.
They're going out, knocking on doors. Thank God for them. Thank God. People, if you're going to be like Jesus, find a place to labor. Find some place. Maybe it's in the nursery. Maybe it's an usher. Maybe you can't work on a bus route. But find some place where you can be serving your God. Serving the one who shed his blood on Calvary's cross. Providing the way for you to come to a holy, righteous God that loved you so much, he was willing to send that son. That's what it's all about. If you're not going to do it, take your theme down.
Yeah, come on. Come on. Right.
Don't be a hypocrite. Take your theme down. The book says, we're saved to serve. That's it. Let's bow our heads for prayer.